Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today as we continue to discover who God is. And God is here in the latter half of the book of Job. In fact, soon we will hear God speak from heaven profoundly, loud, and clear. Stay tuned. But first, as I said last time, we are going through Act 2, Scene 10 of this full-length drama. We're in our seats in the theater, and Elihu has spoken up. He's patiently waited his turn as the first three of Job's friends spoke. And now it is this younger man's turn. He is a wise man, and I hope that we will all be open-minded and open-hearted to hear from him. Personally, I found Elihu to be a breath of fresh air in this story. He has taught me a lot. I am curious as to how you will find him. As I said yesterday, this is a key point in this real-life drama. Elihu is going to take a totally different approach with Job than the first three friends did. What Elihu will do is to take the other arguments, what Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sophar said, and Elihu will contrast those arguments with who God is. We will follow along as Elihu delivers a stunning monologue, center stage. Job is his primary audience, but we are too. I wonder if we will react to Elihu the way Job did. Job was silent. Job does not interrupt him. For six straight chapters, Elihu speaks uninterrupted. That is Job chapters 32 to 37, if you would like to read it, which I highly recommend. You will remember that Job's first three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sophar, all claimed that the reason Job was suffering was because Job had secret sin in his life. So that before tragedy befell him, Job was sinning against God. If Job would come clean and confess his sins to God, then the suffering would all go away. For them, it was as simple as that. But we know this was not the case. Job's three friends were dead wrong. Remember, we have been told something by God that Job and these friends did not know. This is God's assessment of Job in Job chapters 1 and 2. God says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." The suffering that came to Job did not come as a result of his sin. However, as the story progresses, Job begins to sin because he was suffering. Amidst his suffering, Job became a very prideful, self-righteous man. He did not start off that way, but the more the friends attacked his character, the more Job began to defend himself, and the more he defended himself, the more he sinned. So that now, by chapter 32, Elihu will correctly assess that Job has a self-righteous attitude in which Job openly questions the very character of God. I want to make absolutely certain you capture this in your mind. We must understand this about the book of Job. Over the course of Act 2, on earth, in the land of Uz, Job changes. Whereas before Satan attacked him, Job was a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. As Satan attacks him, as the suffering plays out in his life, Job is no longer blameless and upright, fearing God. Now, Job is bitter, and now Job is resentful, openly calling God into question. He was sinning because he was suffering. Our man Job was innocent in the beginning, but guilty not too far into the story. And yes, we will see that God did change his own assessment of Job. Are you with me? I hope so. I pray so. This is very important and also practical. What is our attitude to God like before we suffer? And then what is our attitude to God like when and while we suffer? Do we feel one way about God before testing and trials and another way during testing and trials? I can tell you that in my own life, my attitude towards God definitely changed, that I also became a more prideful man, a more self-righteous man amidst my suffering than I was before the trial. The test descended upon me. And I may say more about this as we move along, not to turn the attention on me, but to give you an example so as to make this teaching practical. We must relate this to real life. And so that you have this ringing in your ears, let me read again from the opening of Job chapter 32. I read now Job 32, part of verses 1 through 3. Then these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. But the anger of Elihu against Job burned, because Job justified himself before God. And Elihu's anger burned against his three friends because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Well, there you have it, Job 32, 1 through 3. Elihu correctly diagnoses the situation. Job is righteous in his own eyes. Job justified himself before God. And his three friends had given Job no answers, yet condemned Job. All of this makes Elihu angry, and now prepare to speak. Would you like to have a friend like this? Elihu burns with anger. Why? Because men that were supposed to be friends with Job had given him very bad advice. Worse, they had said Job suffered because of secret sin in his life, and they condemned Job for that. Now comes Elihu to set the record straight, and he does it passionately. He's wound up, ready to unleash. He's going to give Job a much-needed perspective. Would that we had friends like him, women and men that will speak directly to us out of a sincere and even fiery passion to point our minds and hearts in the right direction, Godward. I understand that a person like Elihu is rare, but my prayer for you is that you have such a person in your life. If not, make this a matter of prayer. Ask your Heavenly Father to provide you with a godly, wise man or woman who will speak the truth to you passionately. Recently, we discussed the danger of barging in on hurting friends, offering them advice when we really do not have the complete picture. I encouraged us to listen more and talk less, and said that often what hurting friends need the most is our presence. That's true. We saw that in Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar's interaction with our man Job. They did not give Job that. Those men were an example of what not to do. But in Elihu, we find a different example. He is an example of what to do. So we want to follow him here at Job chapter 33. Let's go to chapter 33. This is Job chapter 33, and I want to highlight only some of what Elihu has to say to Job, beginning in verse 8, where Elihu confronts Job's conviction that Job is not much of a sinner. He confronts Job's false idea that God is no longer speaking to Job. This will work best if you have your Bible there and follow along as I read, and make some comments in chapter 33, verses 8 through 30. I will not comment on every verse, but several. You say, but Mark, I have my eyes on the road here. I'm driving. Okay, it will work second best then if you read these verses tonight. And radio listeners can always get this free podcast at godisministry.org. So you can hear this again and you will have your copy of God's Word with you. Go to www.godisministry.org and the podcast is waiting for you. All right, are you ready? Here we go in Job 33, beginning in verses 8 through 11. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the sound of your words. Let me interrupt. Here Elihu says to Job, I have heard what you said. Now let me quote you, Job. Verse 9. I am pure without transgression. I am innocent, and there is no guilt in me. Behold, he invents pretexts against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks. He watches all my paths. Elihu nails it. He gets the quote right. Look at verse 9. Job has said, I am pure, I am innocent, there is no guilt in me. Look at verse 10. Job has accused God of being his enemy. Verse 11, Job accuses God of treating him like a prisoner. Job feels as if he is under constant surveillance, like house arrest. God follows Job around everywhere, guarding him with a camera, recording Job's every move. This is how Job interprets what God is doing to him. Then Elihu speaks direct truth to Job. Look at and listen to verse 12. Behold, let me tell you, you are not right in this, for God is greater than man. Ouch. Truth hurts. Elihu says to Job, you are not equal to God. God is far greater than you. You were wrong to treat God this way, my friend Job. And this line, God is greater than man. Keep that in mind when we get over to chapters 38 to 41, and God speaks. And speaking of God speaking, let's drop down to verse 13 of chapter 33 now. I'm reading Job 33, verses 13 and 14. Why do you complain against him that he does not give an account of all his doings? Indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. Wow, this is extraordinary truth. Please understand. Are we to think that God owes us an account of our suffering? We often ask, why are you, God, allowing this pain in my life? Why? Well, Elihu correctly points out that God does not ever owe us an explanation. God does not owe us an explanation. Well, this is not going to sit well with most of us. What? That's the kind of wisdom Elihu has? You've oversold him, Swallow. Well, hold on. Come back tomorrow. Let's keep reading and see where the wisdom is in this. So get the podcast and listen again, and then join me tomorrow in the book of Job right here on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.